WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 6th of November, 2019. My name is Arthur, and this is, by all calculations, the 100th episode of the grand hour. But I'm not going to do anything special. Just a double billing of a couple of radio drama series that I have yet to play that I dug up a couple weeks ago. This broadcast was originally to be done on the 23rd of October, but I missed that show. I'm going to start things off with a show titled Box 13, starring Alan Ladd. This is a newspaper man turned mystery novelist. Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday. This is episode one, The First Letter, with an original air date of the 22nd of August, 1948.
With the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13. Box 13. Box 13. Box 13. Box 13.
Well, this is great. Rain, rain, rain. I'll bet even the ducks wouldn't come out in weather like this. But me, I'm an idiot. I gotta go and take up a profession like being a writer. I couldn't take up something easy. Oh, no, not me. I gotta be a writer so I can be out on nice, cold, wet nights. Beating my brains out. Looking for an idea. Idea. Deadline. Oh, sure. Mustn't forget that ever-loving deadline. What a way to make a living. I could have stayed a reporter at the Star Times and had nice assignments. Like listening to political speeches. Or covering the opening of a new manhole. Oh, no, but not me. I have to write fiction. Do it the hard way. Well, I might as well take the usual hand, open the usual door to the usual place, and hear the usual comments.
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
Hiya.
Coffee, coffee, boy.
Hiya, Dan.
What do you say, Ed?
Editor wants you.
How goes it, Holliday?
Oh, pretty good.
Where's the makeup on page four?
Hi, Mr. Holliday.
How are you?
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
Hello, Susie. Anything in box 13?
Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now for Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
What a character I am. Standing here in front of the want-ad counter in a newspaper office while the rain runs down off my coat collar into my shoes.
Mr. Holliday.
I gotta ruin my last pair of... Huh? What's that, Susie?
I said there's a message in box 13 for you. Here.
Oh. Thanks, Susie.
Don't mention it. Say, aren't you going to open it?
Sorry. Not here, Susie.
You know, you got all of us down here at the Star Times awful curious, Mr. Holliday, running that ad.
Have I?
You've been running it for months. Why don't you change it?
Well, I haven't read it for so long, I've forgotten the words. How's it go?
Don't you remember? Adventure wanted. We'll go any place, do anything. How about that?
I still like it.
You'd do a lot better with Adventure if you ran your picture with the ad.
Oh, no, thanks. Just keep on running it the way it is.
But, gee, aren't you ever going to tell us what you do for a living while you keep running that ad?
Susie, same old question, same old answer. No. Well, if I'm not doing anything else, at least I've got the people at the Star-Times curious. They'd think my brain cells were 10 feet off first base if they knew why I really run that ad. Maybe they are. You can help a person out of great trouble and gain an adventure for yourself if you call Chester 8945 and ask for Carla Williams. Chester 8945. Sounds like an interesting name. Well, I hope she's home.
Hello?
Oh, this is the man from Box 13.
Oh? Tell me, are you serious or was that ad just a joke?
No joke, Miss Williams.
Are you willing to try anything?
Well, that depends what's on your mind.
I can't discuss it over the phone. Will you meet me?
Of course.
There's a little French restaurant down on Ledge Street. Meet me there in the cocktail lounge.
What time?
Make it 10 o'clock tonight. Tell the bartender you want to speak to Carla Williams.
French restaurant on Ledge, 10 o'clock. Oh, what block number?
The 600 block. You won't fail me. You'll be there.
Lady, if it were winter, I'd come with bells on. This sounds like the beginning of a very interesting story. Beautiful woman in distress calls on struggling writer for help. Only she doesn't know I'm a writer, and I don't know she's beautiful.
What's yours, mister?
Oh, I'm looking for a Carla Williams.
Oh, yeah. She's sitting over there in that front booth.
Thanks. Carla Williams?
Yes.
Oh-ho. Carla Williams could be material for a love story or an adventure story. Or maybe both.
And do you have a name?
Oh, yes. Dan Holliday.
I sit down.
Oh, thanks.
I'm agreeably surprised. I didn't think a person would get such a satisfactory reply from a want ad.
And I didn't think I'd get such a nice replier.
You're wondering about me, aren't you? You're wondering why you're here.
Naturally.
Well, I'm being blackmailed.
That's a very nasty business.
I've been paying blackmail for 5 years, but tonight's the end. I'm to meet him in 15 minutes and make the final payment and get the letters.
Well, that sounds like the end of your troubles.
But is it? I can't be sure. That's why I need your help.
But what can I do?
Well, you can be there as a witness. You can make sure this is the end. You can see that I get the letters and get away safely.
Lady, you need the police.
Why? To make sure everything I've kept hidden for 5 years comes out in the open?
Maybe a friend could do it.
My friends would be the last ones on earth I'd want to know. Are you afraid?
No.
You advertised for adventure?
Blackmail isn't my idea of adventure.
I'm sorry if my trouble doesn't measure up to your expectations. The best I could do on such short notice.
Uh-oh. Well, I guess I had that coming.
Maybe this isn't your idea of adventure, but I do need help. I need help badly. Let's leave it at that.
Now, that might appeal to my early Boy Scout training.
Then you will?
I always help ladies across blackmail raps. What happens if your friend makes trouble?
We can't make any trouble.
He seems to have done all right for the past 5 years.
There won't be any trouble if you're alone. Here, reach under the table. Take this.
Now, wait a minute. This is a gun.
Put it in your pocket. Don't let anyone see it.
This is supposed to make everything all right?
Well, you won't need it, believe me. I thought it would make you feel better.
It makes me feel like a policeman. And I still think a policeman is what you want.
But you promised.
I said maybe.
I have to meet him in 15 minutes. Please help me.
Where do we go?
His apartment.
Far from here?
We can make it if we leave now. What do you say?
Maybe I should never have been a Boy Scout. Watch Carla Williams closely as we ride over to the apartment where she's to meet this man she's been talking about. She's perfectly groomed with a certain niceness about her, except for those twin furrows of worry between her eyes and a cold look of anxiety. I don't think I would like to have her angry at me, though.
That's funny. You should have been here 20 minutes ago. Huh.
Why don't you try the door?
It was unlocked.
It might as well wait inside. Unless you have any objections.
Not at all. There's a light switch on your right. The living room is straight ahead.
Say, you sound like you're familiar with the place.
Why not? I've been here many times before.
There's a light on in there. Suppose he might have fallen asleep?
Waiting for his money? Hardly.
Well, this is more like it. This spot is nicely furnished.
With my money. But at least we can sit down and make us... Oh, no!
Miss Williams, what's the matter? What happened?
On the floor by the desk, look.
You stay here. Better call the police. He's dead.
Dead?
Yeah, he's been shot. Once. Through the heart.
I'm glad.
He's the one? The man who was blackmailing?
Yes. Could you go through his pockets? He must have some of those letters with him. Look in his coat pocket.
Just a minute, Miss Williams. You don't understand. This man has been murdered. We've got to call the police.
Murdered? What makes you so sure?
There's no gun around any place.
Just the same, before the police come, his pockets. Please, I've got to have those letters.
Okay. But it isn't right. Are these what you wanted?
Let me see. Yeah. They're all here.
Now, where's the telephone? We've got to get the police up here and fast.
There is no phone.
No? How do you know without looking, unless...
I told you I've been here before.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Well, go downstairs. There's a payphone in the lobby. Tell the police to come up here right away. And come back and we'll wait for them.
You're not planning to leave while I'm downstairs, are you?
No. Here's a nickel. Just dial O and tell the operator you want the police. Hurry.
But you'll be here.
Call, I said. I wanted adventure, so I put an ad in a newspaper. And I certainly found what I wanted. Only this isn't good. The man is lying dead on the floor of this apartment. And Carla Williams and I will have to go down to the police headquarters and answer a million questions. All of them embarrassing. I hope she's made the calls. Say, that's funny. Why would there be a telephone directory in a place where there's no phone? Or maybe there is one. Of course, right here in the hallway. I wonder why she said there was no phone here. Maybe it's been disconnected.
Operator. This is the operator.
Oh, fine. I've written a dozen stories like this. And whenever I've reached this point, the hero always finds that he's been framed. Framed? The gun. Yeah, I gotta look at that gun. find out if it's been fired. One shot has been fired. And the police surgeon will probably find a bullet from this gun in that dead man's body. The police. Seems like little Carla took care of that. Me, I'm going to take care of something else. I'm leaving.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Once again, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, right now I'm wishing I were half as smart as the heroes of some of my stories. I've got a murder, strange woman, a strange apartment, and a strange feeling that this might not work out to a happy ending. What I need is a cab, a quick trip home, a short drink, and a long, long think.
Sure is a rotten night to be out.
Yeah, it sure is.
I never seen such rain.
Not so good.
Cops are sure busy tonight.
Sounds like it.
I wonder who they're after.
I wouldn't have any idea.
Could be a murderer, you know.
Yeah, just could be.
Just a night for a murder.
Perfect.
How come you got so wet?
It's raining.
I know, but how come?
My umbrella needs recovering.
You want the Normandy Arms?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's your building up ahead, but it looks like you got lots of company.
What do you mean?
Them's prowl cars, mister. All over the place.
Oh, this is very nice. Carla Williams called the police and must have mentioned my name in passing. And the type of interesting young fellow that any cop would like to meet. Especially with a murder weapon in my pocket. Tonight, Mr. Holliday, I think you will sleep elsewhere.
Want me to pull right in where all them cops are?
No, they look busy, so maybe we'd better not bother them. Just keep on driving.
But this is where you live, ain't it?
I don't feel like going home tonight.
I could shove them cops aside, you know. This is a legitimate hack.
That would be fun, but don't bother.
You're the boss, mister. Where to?
There's a place down on Franklin Avenue. 1612, I think.
I know that place. That's the cheapest hotel in town.
Yes, I believe it is.
Hey, how do you know about a place like that?
I got information there for a story.
What a joint like that. What are you going there tonight for?
To sleep.
You're writing another story?
I'm living one.
Living one?
Yes, I left my typewriter at home.
Well, Mr. Holliday, to what do we owe this great pleasure?
Maybe you're just lucky.
More research on the seamier side of life?
No, not tonight. I'm looking for a room.
A room? Might I remind you, Mr. Holliday, this ain't the Roney Plaza.
Have you got a room?
Any particular exposure you might like?
The less, the better.
I'm sure we can fix you up. That is, if you're willing to pay in advance.
Buck and a half, how much?
$25, Mr. Holliday.
$25?
And if you committed the murder, it'll be $50, Mr. Holliday.
Come on, talk straight.
I don't want any trouble with the police.
What makes you think I'll cause you trouble with the police?
Little box called the radio, police calls. They're a lot of fun to listen to, Mr. Holliday.
Yeah, I bet they are.
You'll be comfortable here and safe.
I'm beginning to wonder if I could afford it.
With your money? Don't make me laugh.
I wasn't trying to. Where's your phone?
The one on the wall costs a nickel.
Thanks.
You're staying tonight, Mr. Holliday?
there in a hurry.
You? Where are you?
Still in town. What about the police? They with you?
What do you think?
Thanks for putting in a good word for me.
I had to. They made me. Look, I want to talk to you.
I know that feeling. I want to talk to you, too.
I can explain everything.
Like a gun with one bullet fired?
Yes.
A missing telephone that wasn't?
That, too.
Oh. Then you're just the little girl I want to have words with.
Can you come over here right away?
Are the police there?
Oh, that's right. Name a place, I'll meet you.
The corner of 6th and Victor, 10 minutes.
Right.
Follow me, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, where to?
Your room. This ain't the Roney Plaza, but the service is just the same.
I've changed my mind.
You're not staying?
Your rates are too high. I'll drop in again after I've made a fortune. Now I know how the fox feels when the hounds are closing in. Someday I'll have to write a story about a fox. Put that guy Burgess and his Peter Rabbit out of business.
Hey, cab!
It's you again.
Yeah, I get around, don't I?
I thought you were set for the night.
No running ice water. 6th and Victor.
Where'd you say you wanted to go?
6th and Victor.
But there ain't no place to sleep there.
Oh, I'm not sleepy. I just want to examine a fire hydrant.
Okay, mister. I'm glad it's your money and not mine.
If we keep on, it will be your money.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Say, is that tonight's extra lying up there?
Sure. Want to take a look at it?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
That picture they got of you on the front page is lousy.
What picture?
You look like you was facing the camera through a screen door.
Yeah, let me see that. Well, 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 this is just wonderful. Prominent writer named by police. Carla Williams accuses Dan Holliday of the murder of Harry Granger. Grief-stricken girl witnessed the murder of her fiancé. Well, nice going, Carla. It's your word against mine, plus the evidence against me. Now I know why they wrote that song, I Get Along Without You Very Well.
Well, there's 6th and Victor.
Cruise on by.
You ain't gonna stop?
I haven't made up my mind.
It's like a couple of cops waiting around for somebody.
That's the way it looks to me.
That might be the law.
Yes, they might be.
What do you want to do now?
Get away from here and find a city directory. A chap by the name of Harry Granger should have a home. And he should have stayed in it. I'm either just ahead of the police or right behind them. And if this game keeps up much longer, I'll be right with him.
Yeah?
Harry Granger lived here.
He did. You the police?
Well, no, not exactly.
A reporter?
I used to be.
Come here, you. I wonder if you're one of them blackmailers.
Just a minute, friend. My coat rips easy.
No, I guess not. If you were, you wouldn't be here.
Mind if I step in?
Come in, come in. This whole thing's got me all upset.
You don't say. You said something about a blackmailer.
That's what I'm here for. I came to help Harry get rid of those rats.
You mean he was being blackmailed?
For 5 years. I lent him most of the money to pay off with. I told him he was a sucker, but it looks like I got here too late.
You heard what happened?
Saw it in the papers on my way from the station.
Have you told the police?
Not yet, but I'm going to. Who did you say you were?
I didn't say.
You know something about this?
I think I do now. I began to see the light when the city directory listed this place as Granger's apartment.
Can I help?
You might get into trouble.
Well, how?
Breaking into a woman's apartment. After this, I'll use a fire escape and more of my stories are the most interesting things about a building. Homicide will be out in the hall seeing that no one comes in here. We'll have to work fast, Holliday. We'll have to find something that the police weren't looking for. There must be something. Bills, letters, cards, that's no good. Look for the obvious. That's what I always have my hero doing. Let's see, what's the obvious? Oh, the living room. see. That's where the body was. Nothing obvious there. On the desk. No, no. The table. No. The fireplace. Hello, hello, hello. A small frame snapshot. And I think it might be just what I'm looking for. My old friend the bartender and Carla Williams. And with your arms around each other. You know, you two make a nice couple, a wonderful couple. I wonder if they'll let you have your arms around each other in the electric chair.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
I finally made it. I'm down at police headquarters in the office of a tall, gangly character named Lieutenant Kling. Of course, a few things have happened. Carl and the bartender were brought in, too. So much cooler than I am. Oh, those cell bars give you such fine ventilation.
Holliday!
What's that, Lieutenant?
I said you were a very lucky citizen. After what Carla Williams told us, we thought you were guilty.
If she'd have told me that story, I'd have believed it myself. But proving that she and the bartender were married put a crimp in her act as the injured fiancé.
Yeah, you showed it up as the same old racket. Smart woman teams up with smart man to blackmail innocent citizen. But just the same, I think you should stick to your writing and let police work alone.
Lieutenant, I'll have that printed and framed in blonde walnut.
And hang it on the wall?
No, around my neck.
I'm glad to hear you say that. You may not always have a guy like this Grant who backed up your story.
Oh, Granger's friend?
That's the one.
Say, he's a nice fella. Wants me to visit him on his ranch.
Why don't you do that?
Riding the range all day when I could be cooking in town?
Pardon me. Homicide, Lieutenant Kling. Oh, yes, yes, he's here. It's for you, Holliday.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Mr. Holliday, this is Susie.
Yes, Susie.
Can you come down to Star Times right away?
Well, what's the matter?
There's another letter for you in Box 13.
Oh, no, no, no.
Should I open it and read it to you?
Oh, not now, Susie. I've got enough material to last me for a month. 3 weeks of which will be a rest.
Tell me where. Maybe I can come down and help you.
You really want to help me?
Sure I do, Mr. Holliday.
Then put that letter back in Box 13.
But Mr. Holliday...
Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may hardly be seen in...
There you have it, Box 13. That was an original air date of the 22nd of August, 1948. Coming up next, I'm going to have second half, a double feature. That was kind of a suspenseful one, so this one is going to be Western-themed. But first, I need to come up with a PSA. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Yes, this is Arthur here on the Grand Hour. Here, 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Time constraints. I had to boot Digital George and Digital Henry off. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into Tales of the Texas Rangers. This was an audition program with an original air date, the 8th of July, 1950. I forget how long the series ran. I get that confused with looking up Box 13. I think Box 13 ran for 2.5 seasons. I'm uncertain about Tales of the Texas Rangers, but it was picked up but you will hear the audition program here on the 100th episode of The Grand Hour. Thanks for listening.
Texas Rangers, first to advance, last to retreat.
Texas, more than 260,000 square miles.
And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America.
From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record.
To a Texas Ranger may go as many as 4 assignments a week. A case may lead him into the remotest corner of the plains or the crowded streets of the biggest cities. But wherever he goes, he commands respect. To Texans, his badge is the symbol of security.
This is Ranger Jace Pearson. The case we called by just a number began on the morning of July 15th last year. The Stevens Ranch, located just about in the middle of Carson County, was where it started. Started when the Stevens kid, age 9, came running up a long drive to his house.
Billy.
Mom, I saw it.
What did you see, Billy? Answer me, son. What's the matter?
Carl was... And his mom and dad...
Son, tell me what's wrong.
Emmy, I saw Billy come running up.
Sam, I don't know. Look at him.
Billy, it's Dad. It's me, son. Come on now, what's the trouble?
Carl, I saw it.
He's talking about Carl Evans.
Is that right, Billy? What about Carl? Something's wrong at the Evans place. Take care of Billy. I'm going to ride over there.
Sam Stevens saddled a horse and rode to the Evans ranch over 3 miles away. What he saw there made him call the sheriff, who arrived a half hour later.
They're in here, Sheriff.
All right, Sam.
This is what Billy saw.
Kid all right?
Hysterical when I left.
Mm-hmm. Well, looky here. Flat iron, Sam.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Blowing Tom Evans was killed with it.
And him. The kid, Carl.
Yeah, little Carl.
What kind of dirty... Who'd do a thing like this?
Don't be hard finding out who did it.
Hard?
Yeah. No telling when it happened.
Oh. Yeah, I see.
Reckon even the autopsy won't tell much. Not in this case.
Sheriff Larkins was right. The triple murder had been committed too long before. No way of telling how long. The sheriff got in touch with the Rangers and I was assigned to the case. Together, Sheriff Larkins and I went over the Evans place.
There's a room, Ranger Pearson.
Okay, Sheriff, let's have a look.
Place is just like me and Sam Stevens found it. Except in the bodies.
Sure. Kind of a mess, isn't it?
Was a lot worse.
Any fingerprints, Sheriff?
Nobody's touched anything, not even the phone. Been leaving the prints for you.
Okay, I'll see what we can pick up. Meantime, we'll...
Well... What are you looking at?
Had any rain here lately?
Rain? Nary a drop. Why?
Look.
Looks like a little clump of mud got kicked under the bed. Mean anything?
Maybe. Funny shape. Kind of like it came from the instep of a man's boot.
So?
Let's go outside.
Oh, sure.
Only one way a piece of dirt could clump in a man's boot. If you walk in wet earth.
Dry as bone around here.
So, chances are nobody around here had this piece of mud in his boot.
It ain't likely.
Now, wait a second.
No.
Wow, different kind of earth here.
Say, you got something to go on?
Sure. Only one thing wrong.
What's that?
When was the man here? When did he kill Flo and Tom Evans? And Carol?
Yeah, and why?
Maybe if we learn when, the why will answer itself.
How's that figure?
Don't know. Not yet. Well, let's get back to town. I want to match this clump of mud against the boots of everybody who went in that room.
It ain't going to be hard. Only 5 people from around here. Not counting Evans's.
Okay. Let's get back. Pretty well-kept ranch.
Yep. Tom Evans liked it that way.
Mm-hmm. Wonder why I let that fence go.
The fence? Which?
Right here.
Hey.
What is it?
The hogs.
Hogs?
Sure, Tom's hogs. This there sty. Ain't one here. Think the killer stole them?
Come on. Here's why they're not here, Sheriff. This break in the fence.
Figure the killer might have busted through?
No. The hogs did, more than likely. Rails are broken through from the inside, see? Pushed out.
Hogs did it.
It'd be unlikely a man would steal hogs. Too easy for somebody to spot him, so why?
Why what?
The hogs broke out for some reason. Scared?
Well, if the killer cut across the sty, there's no chance of finding his tracks not in here.
Look, I wonder if I could talk to Billy Stevens.
I reckon so, but...
Got an idea. Let's go. Hello, Billy.
Huh?
Nice pony, Billy. Yours?
Oh. Yeah, he's mine. He don't know you, mister.
Oh, I'll fix that. Hello, boy. You got a name, Billy?
Uh-huh. Jinx.
Fixing for trouble, huh? Got a good mouth. Fine legs. Good boy, Jinx.
He don't let everybody pet him.
Oh, I can't blame him for that. Oh, by the way, my name's Pearson, Billy. Jace Pearson.
Howdy.
Howdy.
You come to see my dad?
Well, matter of fact, Billy, I dropped by to see you.
Me?
Yep. Ever seen one of these, Billy?
Texas Ranger badge.
That's right.
You a ranger?
Sure am.
Gee.
Billy.
Yeah, Ranger Pearson?
Kinda need your help.
Mine?
Real bad, like.
But... Sure.
The other day, you went to see your friend.
Carl. Carl Evans.
I want you to remember something, Billy. It'll be a big help to me if you can.
I ain't gonna think.
Oh,
I ain't
not about that, Billy. About the hogs.
Hogs?
Mm-hmm. Did you see the hogs?
Mr. Evans' hogs?
That's it?
Sure. I saw them.
In the sty, huh?
No, they were loose. Running around loose.
Sure?
Sure. Running around making noise. And then I went up to the door. I knocked. Nobody answered. I went to the window. I looked in and I...
Fine. Guess we'll... Write down about the hogs in my notebook. And I'll put it in my report.
With my name?
With your name. You'll probably get a letter of thanks from the colonel.
I will?
Sure thing. Well, Billy, be seeing you.
Hey, can I tell the kids I helped the ranger?
You want to?
Gee, you betcha.
Okay. You tell them I couldn't have done without you. Billy told me what I wanted to know. Sheriff Larkins and I went back to the Evans Ranch. In the barn, we found 3 sacks of feed, 2 full and 1 with just enough taken out for 1 feeding of the hogs. Then I checked with the feed store in town.
Sure, Tom Evans bought all his feed here.
You got a record of the last time he was in, ma'am?
Sure have. Right here in the camp book.
Can I see it, ma'am?
Certainly can. Anything for a ranger. Here it is. Right here.
The 9th of July.
That's right. Just 6 days for Billy Stevens.
Uh-huh. 6 days before.
Pearson, anytime you're ready, got all the people together who was in that room. Got on the same boots of war that day.
Oh, thanks, Sheriff. Now, ma'am, you're sure it was the 9th?
It was the 9th.
Could have told you that, Pearson. A couple other folks saw Tom Evans here in town.
Yeah, I know.
So him and his family could have been killed any time between the 9th and the 15th.
Yep. Ma'am.
Yes?
Tom Evans say anything in a hurry? Anything like that?
Why, yes. I remember him telling me he had to get back with feed. He was all out.
Sure of that?
Just sure as I'm standing here.
Good. Thank you, ma'am. Let's go, Sheriff.
Sure hope you get him.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anything fitting together?
The murders were committed late on the 9th or early the morning of the 10th.
Well, how I figure?
Tom Evans bought feed on the 9th, 3 bags of it. Yeah. And he said he was all out of feed at the ranch. He had to get home to feed the hogs. We found those bags of feed, Sheriff. Oh. 2 of them unopened.
Yeah, and the third...
with just enough feed taken out for one feeding.
Sure. Tom fed the hogs on the 9th.
But on the 10th, he didn't. Because he was dead. Murdered.
Got something to go on at last.
Yeah.
Well, it is something.
I guess so. But I'm counting more on this, Sheriff. A little piece of mud. Earth that came from someplace else, carried in by the murderer on his boot.
How do you know it comes from someplace else?
You ever see earth this color around here?
No.
I've seen this kind in Wheeler County.
Wheeler? That's a long piece.
So much the better.
Better?
Come on, Sheriff. I got a lot of questions to ask and a real short space of time to get them asked. Mud and hogs. Didn't sound or look like much. Meantime, the killer might have made tracks for any place in Texas. He might have headed for the border into Mexico or got himself lost in the lonely stretches of New Mexico or in the big cities of Oklahoma. He had a whole week's start. Meantime, I reported back to my company captain, Clay Travis. He wasn't enthusiastic.
There's not much to go on, Jace.
Oh, little enough, but working on a shoestring is better than nothing.
How's a shoestring look?
Never gets any longer. Anyway, Cap, Evans was in town on the 9th, and he went to the bank, drew out $100. Couldn't find that money on his ranch.
Robbery?
Yeah. The way I figure, the killer was surprised, grabbed this.
Yeah, flat iron.
Uh-huh.
That iron's been gone over by the lab, and the only thing on it was blood. The Evans's.
Couldn't pick up a clean print any place in the murder room, either.
Ever figure it mightn't have been a stranger?
Sure. But I'm laying my money on that piece of mud.
Oh, say, a report on it came from the Austin lab. You want to look at it?
Sure do.
Okay. There it is. Hey, you were right about Wheeler County.
Mm-hmm. Well, looks like we're narrowing down a little. This particular sample found in southwest Wheeler County.
Still covers a good piece of territory.
Yeah. But there are just so many ranches in that section.
Ranches? Oh, you figure your man might have worked on one, huh?
Could be. The way I look at it, he wandered down into Carson County, into town, might have seen Evans with the money, tailed him to the ranch.
Without being seen by anyone?
That's my point, Cap. This time of year, there's a lot of folks passing through, looking for work. Ever pay much attention to one of them?
Yeah, lots of times.
Well, you're paid to do it. Other folks aren't. Not unless he acts up to attract attention.
So you've got no description?
Might get one in Wheeler County. I'm going to check every ranch there and send in samples of earth from every one of them. Be seeing you.
How are you going?
I'll take the radio car. Keep in touch that way. And I'd like to take this flat iron with me, if it's okay with you.
Yeah, it's okay with me.
Oh, better take a horse trailer, too. Something tells me when I find our man, it'll be someplace only a horse can get to. Somewhere I once read that a man had found a needle in a haystack. Did it on a bet. Well, there was only one haystack. Southwest Wheeler County was one ranch after another, and every dead end I ran into gave the killer another break, a longer lead, a better chance to get away. And the man who found the needle knew what a needle looked like. We had no description. A needle stayed in one place. Our man could move around. the same every place I hit. Then on a ranch near Ramso, I got the first real lead.
Come on, have some coffee. We can talk.
Don't go to any trouble.
Trouble for a ranger? You boys got any idea what you look like when you turn up?
Good or bad?
Son, does folks living out here all alone, that badge you're wearing's like a handshake. How'd you like something to eat?
Well, it can't stay long, Mr. Williams.
Oh, looking for somebody, huh?
A murderer.
Can I help any?
I don't know. It all depends. Depends on whether you hired any hands the last, month or so.
Sure, got some here now. You won't see them?
No, no. Besides, I don't think my man would be here.
Huh? But you're looking. You come here.
I want to know if any hands left here around the 9th of the month. This month.
Ninth. Nope, didn't close out nobody on the 9th. The 7th do?
Just about right.
Closed out Orwell that day.
Orwell? You know him?
Never laid eyes on him before I took him on a couple of months ago.
Why'd he leave?
Ornery cuss. Never got along with anybody. Always asking for his pay in advance. Had it spent before it hit his pockets.
I want you to think carefully. Give me the best description of him you possibly can give. Every detail, how he talked, acted, looked, everything.
You figure he's your man, huh?
I don't know, Mr. Williams. Until I get a better lead, I'll trail this one. Description. I sent it into company headquarters along with a sample of earth from the Williams Ranch. Then I kept checking. Yeah, here and there, Orwell had been seen. Got in a poker game, lost some money, picked up a few dollars doing odd jobs, but always moving westward toward Carson County and the scene of the murders. Meantime, I put in a call for Captain Travis through our Amarillo radio, KTXE. He was out, but an hour later, he came through.
Unit 3 to Unit 10. Unit 3 to Unit 10.
Unit 10 to Unit 3. Unit 10 in Gray County, outside of Lafer's. Anything for Unit 10?
Just learned samples of earth from Williams Ranch and murder scene established identical. Your description of suspect sent out on all points bulletin, but suspect may be across border by now.
Unit 10 believes suspect still in state.
Why, Unit 10?
When suspect left Williams Ranch, he had his pay. Didn't keep it long. Evidence indicates suspect a drifter. Probably thinks he's safe by now and won't move fast.
Highway patrols and ranger units near borders alerted.
Suspect's previous travel habits indicate he stays to back trails.
Which direction you moving, Unit 10?
Unit 10 moving west toward Carson County. We'll keep Unit 3 informed. Unit 10, 10-4. Every ranch, every farm, traveling by radio car when I could and on horse when I had to leave the highways. Once or twice I got a dim lead on Orwell, but he was like quicksilver. He kept moving. The more he did, the more I was convinced he was the killer. And then I just got over into Carson County when Captain Travis contacted me by radio.
Unit 3 to Unit 10. Unit 3 to Unit 10.
Unit 10 to Unit 3. Go ahead, Unit 3.
Another lead on Carson County suspect. This one's still smoking, just came in. Here it is, Unit 10. A man answering suspect's description reported seen near Pelly Ranch up near Amarillo.
We'll investigate. Unit 10, 10-4. I covered the 60-odd miles of the Pelly Ranch near Amarillo in something less than an hour. Got in touch with the foreman and told him what I wanted. But he told me...
Got no hand named Orwell, Ranger?
Sure?
Darn sure. Man, you described as a poke named Martin.
Well, that doesn't mean a thing. Probably a phony name.
Well, sure, could be. What do you want to do about it?
Where is this Martin?
Riding fence, north of here.
I want to get to him.
Not in your car.
I got a horse.
You'll need it. Look here, if this guy's what you say, he ain't going to stay long in one place. Hands got paid off yesterday, and Martin's headed for the north fence early this morning.
Where'd he start from?
I can show you.
Come on.
You say this Orwell was riding a sorrel?
That's what he left the Williams Ranch on.
Well, this Martin's riding a black.
Man can change horses as well as his name.
Sure.
You see him start out this morning?
Yep, rode as far as the edge of the corral with me. Tell him what I want it done.
That'll help some. Looks like it'll be a trailing job.
Yes, guess so. Well, here's where he started from. Big mess of tracks here. Hard telling which one's Martin's horse.
But do you ride off alone?
Uh-huh. Straight north, heading for the bench.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll see if I can pick him up. I rode for 2 hours, cutting back and forth in an arc trying to pick up the trail. And then I got a break. Someone had pulled up at a stream to water his horse, and there were boot tracks in the soft earth around the stream. A cigarette butt that hadn't been smoked too long before. The paper was still fresh. The horse's tracks didn't go north from there. They turned off due west and kept along the bank of the stream. Looked like Orwell or Martin was keeping close to water. That meant he wasn't going to ride any north fence, but was heading for the border of New Mexico. He wanted good camping spots handy. Well, looked like Martin was my man. But I didn't know for sure. It was late afternoon when I spotted him, riding up ahead, well off the Pelly Ranch. I put my badge away and my guns under my shirt and caught up with him.
Howdy.
Yeah, been trying to find you.
What for, mister?
Boss sent me out.
Boss?
Sure, back at Pelly's.
Looking for me?
Yeah, looking for you.
Why? What for?
Seems like there's a big break in the north fence. Stock's getting through.
That all?
Well, you're a long way from the north fence, and it seems to me you're riding the wrong way.
Seems to me it's none of your business, mister.
I thought you were working for Pelly.
Nope.
How come?
I quit.
Yeah? You tell Pelly?
Nope, just took a look at the fence. Too much of it for me. He wasn't working for Pelly when I left.
Just got took on this morning.
Oh. Well, you go fix a fence. I'm going my way.
Huh?
I told you, I'm going my way.
No harm if I ride a piece with you, is there?
Ain't ask you to.
Unsociable, ain't you?
Nosy, ain't you?
No, just friendly.
Oh, look, I don't want anybody riding with me. Now get on your way, we're gonna have trouble.
Now, funny, I keep looking at you thinking I've seen you before.
Well, you ain't.
Could have swore I saw you in Carson County.
Never was there.
Seems like I saw you. You must have worked there.
Never was there, I said.
Okay, okay. A man can make a mistake, can't he?
Now get on your way. Something funny, mister?
Yeah, just thinking. Boss sends me out to find you, and here you are dusting off. Here I am feeling the same way. I ain't anxious to work either.
No? How come? I thought you was just took on.
Yeah, but changed my mind. I got enough money.
Oh? You?
Sure. Ran into a little crap game. Kind of ran in luck.
That's so?
Yeah. Couldn't make a wrong throw. Kept bobbing sevens, 11, one right after the other.
A man gets in luck, he can make a kill.
Yeah, 500.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you don't feel much like working.
Thought maybe I'd hit for New Mexico. Maybe go as far as California.
I thought so myself. Yeah, okay, you want to ride with me? Okay by me.
Well, I like good company myself. Especially when I got to camp out.
Sleeping? Hey.
Something you want in my saddlebags, Martin?
Well, I thought you were asleep.
No, don't reach for it, Martin. I'll blow your head off.
Well, what are you getting head up about?
Man starts to go through my saddlebags while I'm sleeping?
Well, there's no need for that gun. I was just looking for cigarettes.
Yeah?
Sure, that's all. What else?
You tell me.
Suspicious like, ain't you?
Call it careful.
Sure. You got a cigarette?
Some packs in my saddlebags.
Don't mind me nosing around them now, huh?
Not while I'm looking.
Okay.
Cigarettes wrapped up in a piece of old blanket.
This bag?
Other one.
This it?
Yeah, that's it. Wrapped up in that.
What do you got in here? Feels like a ton of iron.
Might be. Unroll the blanket.
Yeah.
Recognize that flat iron, Orwell?
You're turning!
Orwell got himself between me and my horse. He slapped it hard, and the horse jumped toward me. I rolled over and away when Orwell fired again. And then he was gone. To wait till morning was to give him a ticket to freedom. I trailed him on foot. And for over an hour, we played cat and mouse in the stillness of the country. And then I came to a little arroyo. You're not going to get away, Orwell. Come out with your hands in the air, Orwell. Hear me? Okay, I'm coming in after you. Toss your gun out, Orwell.
Yeah.
Gun flashes make good targets in the dark, Orwell.
How come you know my name?
Found it out. Still say you never been in Carson County?
Who are you?
Jace Pearson, Texas Rangers.
There ain't nothing you got on me. Nothing.
I think there is, Orwell. You gave yourself away when you saw the flat iron. The flat iron that killed a man, his wife, and a little kid. Okay, we better get going. The case was closed when Orwell broke down and confessed. Not long after, he went to the electric chair at Huntsville.
You have just heard an authentic reenactment of the case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tonight's script was written by Russell Hughes and produced by Stacy Keach. Next week, the National Broadcasting Company will bring you another case.
Tales of the Texas Rangers. Again, that was an audition program titled Just a Number, with an original air date of the 8th of July, 1950. That went on, I don't know, for at least one season. I don't recollect. This has been Arthur. Thanks for listening to the 100th episode of the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and/or WMFO.org.